Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the small house halfway up in the next block, we find three gentlemen of our acquaintance. Mr. Victor Cook, his son, Mr. Rush Cook, and Sage's amiable Uncle Fletcher are seated here and there about the living room in attitudes of ease. And having dined recently and fulsomely, their conversation lacks drive and sparkle. Young Rush, however, seems to have hit upon an interesting passage in the volume of vigorous fiction he's glancing through. Listen.
Say, Uncle, thundered Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley, pressing his fingers deep into the throat of the counterfeiting clarinet virtuoso. Uncle, screamed the miserable wretch, and the handsome young officer threw his lifeless body over the precipice, mounted his sky-blue motorcycle, and steamed victoriously into the golden rays of the setting sun.
Something in my tooth.
What?
Something in my tooth.
Oh, you'll enjoy that.
A fragment of my dinner is apparently lodged between one of the upper bicuspids and one of the adjacent contemporaneous phalanges.
Phalanges are toes.
That's what I say. No, it works out that way sometimes. Stove polish, hyena grease, chest salve, quinine. It all comes to nothingness in the end.
Boy, it sure does. Where's Mama Geraldine?
She went up the street to Mrs. Kessler's house to return an egg beater.
Why didn't she send you?
Oh, wanted to indulge in a chat, I expect.
There, I extracted what was in my tooth.
Oh, congratulations.
Life, she has her ups and downs. Disappointment and ecstasy, they walk hand in hand.
Yeah.
Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley's handsome face bifurcated into a dazzling smile. Every huge square tooth, the color of new butter, was revealed. He took Lady Margaret in his arms and kissed her, not once, but twice. The beautiful woman moaned, grunted, and slumped feebly against the telegraph pole. The young officer drew from his belt a crimson pennant and waved it in the air.
Who'd you do that for?
Huh?
Why'd he wave the pennant?
Well, he always waves a crimson pennant in the air when he enjoys a kiss from Lady Margaret.
Yeah?
It's more delicate and refined, see, than blurting right out he enjoyed the kiss.
Oh, Sunday.
Yes, indeed.
In case you don't enjoy the kiss, he whips out a green pennant and waves it.
Oh, my.
And then he carries in his belt a brown pennant he waves if he enjoyed a hug Lady Margaret gave him. And a purple pennant he waves if he didn't enjoy the hug. And a gray pennant if he enjoyed the kiss but not the hug. And a burnt orange pennant if he enjoyed the hug but not the kiss. And a maroon pennant if he enjoyed both the hug and the kiss. And a striped pennant...
Don't tell me anymore, Rush, old pal.
Okay.
And he's a fathead. I'd like to forget the subject forever.
Well,
I have lost complete track of the conversation, man.
Oh, you've had a tough break. We've been discussing some mighty fascinating matters.
Talking about fascinating matters, take my friend Art McFreely. Art was in a cigar store near the city limits of Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, and he had this complete stranger come up to him and inquire about the relative water levels of the
rivers.
Beg pardon, Dick, honey?
Your niece has returned.
Fine. Well, this perfect stranger asked him if he knew the relative water levels of the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers.
Well, you all stuck around, did you? I halfway expected everybody to have sneaked off someplace.
Well, Sadie, honey, finish the supper dishes, I expect. Rush, get up and give Mama your chair.
She's going to sit on the davenport.
That makes it perfect.
Uh-huh.
I understand you've been gallivanting around the neighborhood.
I strolled up the street and returned Miss Kessler her egg beater I borrowed.
How is Miss Kessler?
Just grand.
I didn't think anybody was that healthy.
I've never seen her look better. Wonderful.
Miss Kessler is wonderful?
Yes.
I was telling the different ones on deck here, Sadie, honey, about Art McFreely.
Oh, really?
You may recall Art McFreely.
No, I don't believe so.
He was a Dixon, Illinois chap.
Well.
He called public attention to himself when he went to Hannibal, Missouri, and married a woman 24 years old.
How old is he?
Art? Art was 26 at the time.
Imagine.
Well, he was almost 26.
Uh-huh.
He was really 25, but his 26th birthday was only a month and a half off.
Oh, goodness.
Nothing wrong, is there, Mom?
How do you mean, Willie?
You got kind of a feverish glitter in your eye.
Oh, ish.
No, but you have. You talk so kind of eager and funny.
I noticed the same thing, kiddo.
Oh, some people's imagination.
Oh.
Go ahead with your story, Uncle Fletcher.
Not at all.
You were telling about some Dixon man.
Yes, Art McFreely.
Yes.
Well, Art was in this cigar store.
Vic, something is
near the city limits. Uh-huh. of Sweet Esther, Wisconsin.
Hold it a minute, Uncle Fletcher.
Well, that was about all, except for the point of it.
What's the trouble, kiddo?
I just had a fight.
Fight?
With Miss Kessler.
Who?
A terrible fight. We went round and round. And it'll continue. Miss Kessler will be over here in a minute. I'd stake my life on it. Because we left our fight up in the air, unfinished and undecisive. You listen. You'll hear her come to the back door. Look at my hand tremble.
What is the nature of this dialogue?
Ma made a fight with a neighbor lady.
Fight?
You just stick around if you want to hear people rip into each other. Oh, she'll be over directly. Just you watch. Oh, boy, and will a fur fly.
Well, heck, kiddo, I wouldn't get upset.
Miss Kessler is as sweet a little woman as I know. She wouldn't hurt a wet hand. But just because she's had a busy, vexatious, tiresome day is no excuse for chewing a person into little bits. Well, I give her as good as she sent. I had a big monstrous day myself. Oh, you fellas just hang onto your chairs and wait 5 seconds. You'll see a battle that is a battle.
Well, what was the fight about?
Hardly anything. It was a little, tiny, insignificant piece of trash that come up in the conversation and we disagreed on it. But Miss Kessler decided to make something of it. So she pounced. And I pounced right back. And we went at it hot and heavy.
What was the little tiny...
Miss Trogle's shoe size.
Miss Trogle's shoe size?
Yes. I said 5 1/2, and I know it's 5 1/2. And I told Miss Kessler 5 1/2. But no, 4 1/2, says Miss Kessler. And then, because we were both tired and warm and peevish, we let ourselves go.
Well, why didn't you just call up Miss Trogle on the telephone ask her what her shoe size is?
People don't do that.
All you'd have to do is a subtle argument would be to ask Miss Trogle herself.
People don't do that.
Oh,
listen for the kitchen door, Rush.
Okay.
She'll come over. I know she'll come over. Because we left the fight completely up in the air, unfinished and undecisive. I bet $19 billion she'll be over. You want to see a terrible, terrible battle, Uncle Fletcher?
Sure.
You just stick around.
You're going to have a fight with Miss Kessler up the street, are they?
It'll be the most horrible fight you ever saw.
Dandy.
I expect I really ought to push the furniture back against the wall.
I will never forget Larry Wayne from Dismal Seepage, Ohio, that founded the city of Blue Grove, Minnesota, and named every street in it Alvira Jordal.
All the streets were named Alvira Jordal?
Every one.
I should think the inhabitants would get confused.
They did get confused. It was an awful mess.
Huh.
Larry Wayne ended up by marrying a woman 36 years old.
How old was he?
Larry was also 36.
Just you wait.
Kiddo, you're all upset.
Well, of course I'm upset. Who wouldn't be upset?
Well, no, but for Pete's sake.
Hi, did I see in there? This girl?
Here she is. Didn't I tell you? She couldn't even wait 5 seconds. Hi, Tarsy lady. Is that you, Miss Kessler?
Yes, I brought you back the cup of sugar I owe you.
Well, come in. We're in the living room, the whole family. My husband's here, and my little boy, and my Uncle Fletcher. Uncle Fletcher, here's Miss Kessler come to call.
Any necessity for screaming in my ear, are they, Sadie?
Here we go. Snarling cats in the barrel. This is going to be a terrible fight. Just a terrible fight.
I believe it's turning a little cooler.
Oh, really, Miss Kessler?
The nicest breeze just sprung up you ever saw.
Miss Kessler,
how are you? Well, and Rush, hello, honey.
Good evening, ma'am.
Why, and Uncle Fletcher. Say, you're quite the stranger. Haven't seen you in a month of Sundays.
Right.
Miss Kessler, you changed your dress.
This old thing.
It's beautiful.
Oh, now listen.
It's darling.
How happy you like it.
It's so sweet and flimsy and fragile, though. I hope you never caught cold coming over here.
I never catch cold. Knock wood.
No, but a person shouldn't take chances. Oh,
you worry too much about me, Miss Cook.
Sit down, dear. Rush, get up and give Miss Kessler your chair.
This is the most terrible fight I ever saw.
More about Vic and Sade in a moment. Now, back again, we go to the small house halfway up in the next block. The cook living room has been converted into a battlefield. And those two valiant gladiators, Sade and Mrs. Kessler, are exchanging heavy thrusts and body blows. Listen to the cries of anguish.
Miss Gook, I don't want you to think I'm leading up to a trade lass, but Miss Watson there on Chestnut Street told me down in the 10-cent store Tuesday afternoon. that you make the best peanut brittle she ever put in her mouth.
Oh, Miss Watson's nothing but a flatterer.
I wouldn't say that.
If you're hungry for peanut brittle, I'll have Rush run to the drugstore and buy some.
Oh, no.
I had a chunk of peanut brittle I carried around in my overall pocket a couple of months last winter, but she turned sour on me.
Well.
I never knew I was going to toss any bombshell into the conversation with that remark. Yes, I'm pretty witty when it comes to making observations about peanut brittle.
You're quite a character, Mr. Rush.
Oh, I'm a cat bird, I am.
Rishigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan, that hangs around the inner urban station. Crack kind of a funny
Goodness,
joke when he...
Rush, but you're growing tall.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
14.
You're almost as old as your father.
Oh, my.
I believe you are as old as your father.
Well, no, not quite.
You're not sitting in any draft, are they, ma'am?
What did I say? I meant tall. I meant to say, Rush, you're almost as tall as your father.
Pretty near it, I guess.
How tall is your father now?
5'9" and a half, I guess.
5'9" and 3/4.
Goodness, that is old.
Oh, thunder.
Say, Miss Gook, remember when you were over my house a while ago and the subject of Miss Trogle's shoe size come up?
Oh, of course.
I said she takes 4 1/2, and you said 5 1/2.
Yes.
It turned out I was right.
Really?
I got to thinking about it and remembered one time at Thimble Club.
Oh, yes, you mentioned that over at your house. You said Mrs. Armbruster was dead certain Miss Trogle took size 4 1/2.
Mm-hmm. And she also was
dead certain... but Miss Armbruster is 87 and gets just a trifle confused sometimes. Remember when she told the ladies her son Walter was a balloonist?
Perhaps he is a balloonist.
Perhaps he's a box of marshmallow cream.
Is that a joke?
Yeah. No, you can accept my word for it, lady. Miss Trogle takes a size 5 1/2 shoe.
But she doesn't.
I beg your pardon?
She takes a size 4 1/2. I know, because...
Because old Miss Armbruster says so, yes. Well, she just made a little teeny mistake.
I wasn't going to mention Miss Armbruster. I was going...
Yes, you were going to say you personally know Mr. Rogers down at Rogers' shoe store.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say...
Mr. Rogers
I was going to say that little Charlie Husher once ran an errand for Miss Trogle, and I remembered his stopping
past...
Yes, indeed. He was taking a pair of shoes to be repaired, and he showed me the packet, and for some reason or other, the shoe size was written up.
Excuse me, I beg your pardon.
Ladies, really now.
You keep well, do you, Mr. Gook?
I'm as healthy as a horse.
Rush, you look fine and strong.
Oh, I'm in pretty fair shape.
He's almost as old as his father.
Yes, he is.
Oh, thunder.
And no, what about Miss Trogle's shoe size?
Excuse me. Not at all.
If you ladies would enjoy listening to the frank opinion of a numbskull.
Oh, say, the cup of sugar I brought over. Where is it?
Rush, what'd you do with the cup of sugar Miss Kessler brought over?
Well, I haven't seen it.
Well, you've been in the room all the time.
Well, I know I've been in the room all the time, but does that necessarily
mean... I remember. I left it out on your kitchen table. Sure, that's what I did. I left it out on your kitchen table. I'll go get it.
Oh, no, I'll go get it.
Oh, you do no such thing.
Oh, Rush, you'll go get it.
Rush, you sit right where you are.
Well, Vic will go get it.
No, Vic is remaining in his chair.
Uncle Fletcher will go get it. Miss Kessler, Uncle Fletcher will go get the cup of sugar.
No.
He's almost out there now.
I'm almost out here now.
Oh, see, what did I tell you? Ever listen to such a fight in your life? Oh, but she's determined. I hate fighting and clawing and stabbing like we've been doing. But is there any reason why I should give in like some little rabbit?
I'll never forget a certain section hand that worked as straw boss out of Wilmington, Ohio.
Uncle Fletcher, did you ever witness such goings-on?
What?
This terrible fight that's going on.
She's a bloody battle and no mistake.
I detest violence and noisy screaming just as much as anybody else does, but I'm not going to just sit...
Hey, am I the foolish girl?
Be quiet.
I'm not talking.
Be quiet. Oh, we're rude as we can be in here, jabbering away while our company tries to get a word in edgewise. What'd you say, Miss Kessler?
I say I certainly am the foolish girl.
Why?
I brought a cup from over home, but I brought an empty cup. No sugar in it.
No!
Yes, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, you're fooling.
I'm not fooling.
This dialogue is beginning to exhaust the various brain cells.
I'll run over home in a minute and get the sugar.
I certainly am the silly girl.
Well, I'd have done the same thing myself.
Sure. No, I'll trot back in a minute.
Well, I'd be glad to trouble
you. You keep well, do you, Mr. Cook?
Oh, so-so.
You're almost as old as Rush.
Yeah, almost.
How old are you now?
Well, on the 27th day of next February...
I just thought of a proof Miss Trogle takes a size 4 1/2 shoe.
Oh, really? Why, how strange. I just thought of a proof. She takes a size 5 1/2.
That's quite a coincidence.
Well, isn't it?
I'll tell you my proof.
I'll tell you mine.
When
about
I visited
ago,
East St. Louis last fall, I called up Miss Trogle, wanting to borrow a pair of sneakers. You don't... Excuse me.
Holy smoke, I'll talk.
Of course, this doesn't make the slightest bit of difference.
About Miss Trogle's shoe size? Oh, goodness, no.
But to finish what I started to say...
Yes. Well, I'll finish what I started to say.
Well, surely.
Stop on Drian, stop on Drian.
There are the telephone.
I get it.
Yes, you get it. Mr. Gook will answer it, Miss Kendall.
Oh, I know he will.
Get it, Vic.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not at all.
You're getting tall, Rush.
Yeah. You're almost as tall as the telephone.
Yeah.
How old is the telephone?
They are laughing.
Oh, I know.
Hello? Oh, hello, Fish.
Richigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan.
It's Richigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan.
Grand.
Yeah, sheer ecstasy. What's on your mind, Fish?
A dear friend, Mr. Gore.
Oh, yeah. Is that so?
Uh-huh.
You know, I was thinking I'd give Miss Trogle some easy slippers for Christmas this Christmas.
Okay.
Size 5 1/2.
No, size 4 1/2. Uh-huh.
She wears size 5 1/2.
I believe we disagree on that. Just the teeniest, tiniest bit, Miss Gook.
Sure thing, Fish.
It's not that I care a darn one way or the other.
Fine, Fish.
No, nor me either.
Okay, Fish.
Only I do have this proof.
Bye-bye, Fish.
See, when I visited East St. Louis last fall...
Who was that, Vic?
Huh?
Who was that on the telephone?
Michigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan.
Well...
Said the courthouse just blew up.
Well, what do you know? This is a friend of Mr. Gore.
How grand.
Just called up to tell me my job has been given to another guy and that the police have a warrant for my arrest.
He's awful nice.
Also, I said the world will come to an end by noon tomorrow, and there's 40 wild tigers in this part of
the
town.
Well, that's just splendid, but, Vic, maybe we oughtn't to talk family talk when we got company. Miss Kessler, I think you started to say something.
Oh, yeah, yes, I did. What was it? Oh, well, last fall when I went to East St. Louis...
I'm the rude, impolite, mean girl. You asked me to tell you my proof about Miss Trogle taking a size 5 1/2 shoe, and then I never went ahead and told it. Well, here
I have to skip home and get that sugar.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, I don't need that darn old sugar.
It won't take me 2 minutes.
Well, maybe Vic or Rush could try it over.
Oh, no, sorry, sir.
Will you be right back?
I'll be back before you can say Jack Robinson.
Well, don't run fast or catch cold.
I won't.
And don't trip and fall down.
If I do, I'll go boom.
Is she gone?
Yeah.
You heard the kitchen door close?
Yeah.
Did you ever see such a fight, Vic?
No, I never did.
Did you ever in all your life see such a fight?
More about Vic and Sage in just a moment. Sir, returning to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block once again, we find our friends pretty much as they were when we left them a few moments ago. Mrs. Kessler has not as yet returned with the cup of sugar, and during her absence, Sade is recapitulating the late bloody battle for the benefit of Vic, young Rush, and Uncle Fletcher.
Did you hear her lash out about her trip to East St. Louis?
Oh, it was fearful.
Well, I think that was the most terrible part of the fight. When she started to tell about East St. Louis, and I started to stab at her with my body blow about meeting Miss Trogle down in Hamilton's store. Uncle Fletcher, don't you think that was the most terrible part of the fight?
I went all wishy-washy inside and clenched my fists in terror.
Why? It was murder.
I had to hold my chin in my hand to keep my teeth from chattering.
And just think, in a minute or two she'll be back and we'll start it all over again.
Do you manage to keep well, lively, Rush?
Well, I'm in pretty good shape, I guess.
Let's see, you must be about as old as your father.
Oh, I'm a little older than he is.
How old is your father?
Oh, about 5'9 1/4.
Oh, I'm older than that. I'm 5'9 3/4.
You're about as old as Miller Park Lake.
Oh, Miller Park Lake is 6 feet high.
That's what I say.
Now, just think. In a minute or two, Miss Kessler will be back, and we'll start the terrible fight all over again.
I'm going to make a telephone call.
Does the telephone manage to keep well these days, Vic?
I'll talk to it and see.
Person does talk to the telephone. Never thought of that before.
And it talks back.
Absolutely.
I wonder how awful this fight is going to get.
There'll be dead bodies everywhere.
7654J, please. Correct.
Hey!
Beg pardon?
That's Miss Trogo's number.
I know it.
What you telephoning about?
I'm going to make a certain inquiry.
What inquiry's that?
Miss Trogo's shoe size.
No!
I'm merely going to ask...
People don't do that, Vic. They just don't.
Well, I'm a people that gets tired of a lot of nonsense and junk. And I... Hello? Who is this? Margaret? Oh, how are you, Margaret? That's fine. Mama home?
People don't do that.
Anthracite and bituminous coal. Lovers like roses in December must part and weep.
Oh, I see, Margaret. Mama and Papa are over at Ada and Keith. Well, say, Margaret, maybe you can tell me something. Do you happen to know what size shoe your mama wears?
Oh, that poor little baby.
Oh, heck, my Margaret must be 11 years old.
Oh, I see, Margaret. And you're sure that's correct? Well, thanks very much. You bet. Goodbye, Margaret.
What size did you wear?
Well, see, I'll tell you. Margaret informs me...
Hi, lady. Here's your naughty neighbor girl again.
Here she is. The battle's on again. Now, look, everybody, keep out. I'll do my own fighting.
Well, that didn't take long.
Everybody keep out. I'll do my own fighting.
Uh-huh. I didn't forget the sugar this time.
Oh, well.
I'd forget my head if it wasn't attached to my neck.
Oh, my.
I'm sure it's getting a little cooler out.
I believe the weatherman in the newspaper said cooler.
Well, Mr. Rush, still here?
Did you think I joined the army?
Yes. Rush, how you're growing.
I'm almost as old as my father.
And here, Mrs. Gook, is your sugar.
Thank you.
You'd think the woman was handing you a quart of diamonds, Sadie.
Yes, Uncle Fletcher.
Say, lady, I've been thinking
about... Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
All right. I was thinking about Miss Trogo's shoe size.
We're enjoying some more complicated dialogue.
You were going to say something about Miss Trogo's shoe size, Miss Kessler.
Yes.
So was I.
I hope you don't think I keep harping on the same subject.
Well, not at all.
Because it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference.
No, it certainly doesn't.
I'll tell you what I was going to say.
All right, and before I forget it, I'll tell you what I was going to say. Tuesday afternoon, I talked to Miss Trogo.
Tuesday afternoon, I talked to Miss Trogo.
Really?
She told me her shoe size.
She told me her shoe size.
4.5?
5.5.
How could that be?
Miss Kessler, I've known Miss Trogo for many years. She is one of my dearest friends.
Are you related to Mrs. Trogo?
Well, no. Are you?
It's a very distant connection.
Ladies, I'd like to put in a word.
We're talking, Vic.
I'd like to put in a word just the same. I can tell you what shoe size Miss Trogle takes.
What size is it?
I have your undivided attention?
Yes.
When Mrs. Trogle goes downtown and buys a dress shoe for going out evenings and visiting people and taking trips and patronizing the picture show, she asks the clerk to show her a size 4.5. But when she purchases a shoe for around the house and for housework and for walking and going downtown shopping, she takes 5.5.
Oh.
Her daughter Margaret tells me she owns 2 pair of shoes size 4.5 and 2 pair of shoes size 5.5.
When she talked to me Tuesday about shoes, she was talking about comfortable shoes for around the house.
When she talked to me Tuesday, she was talking about dress shoes.
Well, that ought to settle that.
So, your girls are both right.
Burley W. Rostingy, that tried to get the southwestern part of eastern North Dakota to secede from the Union, married a woman 19 years old and hit her on the head with a coal scuttle immediately after the wedding ceremony so there wouldn't be any doubt in her mind who was boss. I remember Burley and Rostingy very well.
I'm crying.
So is Mrs. Kessler.
And now they're going to hug each other.
Yeah.
What do you know about that?
Tears and hugs. Tears and hugs teaches us a great truth about women. What great truth does it teach us?
I don't know.
Tears and hugs, they teach us a great truth about women.
What's the great truth?
I don't know either.
I don't suppose there's any use of my apologizing, Miss Kessler.
You apologize? I'm the poor, miserable creature that ought to apologize.
Would you be willing to forget the whole thing?
Would you?
Yes.
Hey, who'd go for a snort of lemonade?
I sure would.
Lemonade, she hits the spot around this time of the evening.
Hey, Miss Kessler, wasn't that some fight we had?
It was horrible.
We lashed out at each other like wild tigers.
We clawed and chewed each other like mad dogs.
Oh, boy.
It was a terrible fight.
That was the awfulest fight I was ever in my whole life.
We end our visit at the small house, halfway up the next block, with radio's home folks, Vic and Sage. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitch Company again presents Vic and Sage. Vic and Sage is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.